Pariah, B.K. Evanson. Prologue.
"Will you tell me your name?"
asked Dr. Halsey. She made no move to squat down in front of the boy, to smile, to do anything at all to come down to his level. Instead, she remained standing, her posture neither friendly nor threatening, but simply as neutral as she could make it. Her gaze was steady, interested. The boy looked at her from across the room. He was only 6, but the boy's gaze was just as steady as hers, though there was perhaps a trace of wariness in his eyes. "Completely understandable," thought Dr. Halsey. "If he knew why I was here, there'd be more than just a trace." He held his body just as noncommittally as she held her own, though she could tell by the tightness in his neck that that might change any moment, without warning.
"You first,"
the boy said, and then moved his mouth into something that could pass for a smile. His voice was calm, as if he were used to being in charge of a situation. Not afraid, then. Not surprising, thought Dr. Halsey. If the report she'd read was correct, he'd managed to survive on his own in the outer colonies on the planet Dwarka, on an illegal farm in the middle of a forest preserve 100 kilometers from nowhere, for nearly 3 months after his parents had died. Surviving under normal circumstances on a harsh world still in the process of being terraformed was hard enough, but for someone who was barely 6 years old, it was inconceivable.
"I already know your name," Dr. Halsey admitted. "It's Soren. If you knew, why did you ask?"
"I wanted to see if you'd tell me," she said. Then she paused.
"I'm Dr. Halsey," she said, and smiled.
Soren didn't smile back. She now saw more than a trace of suspicion in his gaze. Suspicion that sat strangely in his face, alongside his straw-colored hair and his pale blue eyes.
"What kind of doctor?" he asked. "I'm a scientist," said Dr. Halsey.
No, she said, and smiled. "I'm not a psychiatrist. You've been seeing a lot of psychiatrists, haven't you?" He hesitated just a moment, and then nodded.
"Because of your parents' deaths?"
He hesitated, nodded again. Dr. Halsey glanced at the holographic files displayed discreetly on the interior of her glasses. His mother had apparently succumbed to a planet-specific disease. Treatments were readily available, but a family living off the grid wouldn't have been aware of that. Instead of reporting immediately to the planetary officials, as was required by law, the boy's parents had dismissed the symptoms as those of a cold and had kept working. A few days later, the mother was dead, and the stepfather sick. Soren, perhaps because his younger immune system had adapted more readily to Dwarka, had never become ill. He had, according to his stepfather's dying wish, buried the bodies of both of his parents, then continued to live on in their farmhouse until supplies were almost gone, finally setting out by foot to cross 112 kilometers of blue-gray forest and arrive at the beginning of authorized farmland. Was she right to consider him for her team of Spartans? Certainly he was bright and resourceful. He was tough and clearly wouldn't give up easily. But at the same time, what would it do to someone to go through that experience? Nobody knew how traumatized he was. Nobody knew for certain what it had done and might still be doing to him. Probably not even him.
"Why are you here?"
he asked. She looked at him and considered. There was no reason to tell him anything. She could simply do as she and Keyes had done with the others and make the decision for him, flash clone him and kidnap him for, as she'd started telling herself, the greater good. But with the other children, she'd in part assumed they wouldn't understand. Here was a boy without parents who, despite being only 6, had had to grow up fast, much faster than her other recruits. Could she tell him more?
"The truth is," she said, "I came to see you."
"Why?" he countered. She returned his even gaze. Suddenly she made her decision.
"I'm trying to decide if you're right for something I'm working on, an experiment. I can't tell you what it is, I'm afraid, but if it works in the way we hope it will, you'll be stronger and faster and smarter than you could ever imagine. For the first time, he looked slightly confused. Why would you want to do something like that for me? You don't even know me. She reached out and tousled Soren's hair, was pleased when he didn't flinch or shy away. It's not for you exactly, she said. I can't tell you much more. It won't be easy. It'll be the hardest thing you've ever done. Even harder than what happened with your parents. And what have you decided? He asked. I've decided to let you be the one to decide, she said. What if I say no? She shrugged. You'd stay here on Dwarka? The planetary authorities would arrange a foster home for you. Not much of a choice, she thought. He's between a rock and a hard place. She wondered again if she wasn't being unfair putting the choice on the boy. All right, he said, and stood up. All right what? She said. I'm coming with you. When do we leave? Later, back on board, when she spoke with Keyes, showed him the vid of her conversation with Soren, he asked,
You're sure about this?
I think so, she said. He just grunted. As sure as I am of taking any of them, she said. At least he has a notion of what might happen to him.
That's an awful lot to lay on a child, said Keyes. Even one who's grown up fast.
She nodded. Keyes was right, she knew. The terms for the test subject known as Soren were different from those of the others. He was coming into the program in a different way from the very beginning. She'd have to remember that and keep an eye on him.